What's the new season? What do we call this new season? Anybody know? January. Yes. Yeah, it's I call it gym season. This is the season everybody goes to the gym, right? And I was actually reading an article this week that like gym memberships like spike right at the time, which makes sense. And this one article is like, here's a little tip for you. It said, it's cracked me up. It said, if you can put off on starting your New Year's resolution until February because the crowds will be a lot lighter. And I just cracked that up because if there's anything I'm capable of, it's delaying any type of new resolutions I have. You know, I mean, that is totally doable. So I am definitely committed to delaying that. I will definitely be starting at some point in the future. Such a good tip. But in all seriousness, I do want to take this opportunity, and at the risk of being doing the cliche thing, I do want to focus on resolutions, and I do want to focus on this idea of growing. And I want to see us as a church individually, not numerically, individually, I want this to be a year of growth, where we can say, okay, I'm going to take January and really look at what areas does God want to work on in my life that I want to actively be a part of in growing. So the end of 2019, I can look back and say, yeah, I did grow in that way. And God, I mean, this idea of growth is throughout the New Testament. I want to give you a couple of verses. Philippians 1:6, it's up on the screen. He says, I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion on the day of Jesus Christ. God started it, and he's promising here he is going to finish it. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 and 24, similar idea. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. And that word sanctify, it's a word for salvation, but it's the incremental growth that God, the process of our growth, of becoming more and more like Jesus. May he sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body, so all parts of you, be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. And one of the things that the picture that gives me there is that, because I think that's one of those verses that sometimes is taken out of context, and people just say, well, he called you, he will faithfully do it. But the context of this passage is sanctification. He who called you, in other words, called you to faith, will do it. He will finish what he started. The same idea from Philippians. And I can imagine, like, God's got like a file cabinet with everybody's name in it, and he pulls it out, and it's got a to-do list. Like, what do I need to accomplish in Brian's life, in John's life, in David's life, whoever? I think at the very top of that to-do list, God's to-do list for you is sanctification. God's number one agenda, what he's trying to accomplish in your life, I mean, without a hesitation or doubt, is your sanctification. He's trying to make you more and more and more. He's not just trying, he is doing, make you more and more like Jesus. And I think the question really is am I going to be an active participant in that? Am I going to allow and be a part and active in that? Because I think that we are a part of that, and we do get to play a role. And that's what we see here in Romans 12. And I'm just going to read these verses real quick. Romans 12, verses 1 through 3. He says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, by testing, you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, do not think of himself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment. And I'm going to stop right there because we're going to pick up on the rest of the passage next week. But what does choosing to grow mean? Because that's really what I want to zero in on today. Is that I hope that today we say, all right, I am going to make the choice that I want to grow this year. I'm choosing to do that. So what does that mean exactly? I think my first point is because of God's mercy. And this is going to make more grammatical sense as I build out the points. But because of God's mercy, he starts at the beginning. He says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God. He's making a reference back to what came before. And in this case, he's talking about the entirety of Romans before. So chapters 1 through 11 are some of the most deep and rich, incredible detail all about the gospel. All about the gospel, the main thing that God is doing in our world for his glory. And chapters 1 through 3 are all about the problem. In other words, everybody's a sinner. You know, it says at the end of Romans 3, it says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And he just lays out the case in painful, excruciating detail that we are desperately in need of a Savior. He makes that abundantly clear over and over. You cannot make the standard of righteousness. And then chapters 4 through 8 are the solution, the good news, justification. In other words, righteousness comes through faith in Christ and the whole idea of the exchange, you know, of Jesus' righteousness. He takes my sin, he takes it to the cross, and then his righteousness goes on to me, and I become a new person. And then chapters 9 through 11 answer the what about Israel question. So how does God's people and how he's been working through the Old Testament and bringing the Messiah into the world, how do they work into this whole thing? But the whole big picture is God's mercy. He says, I appeal to you, brothers, because of God's mercy. So you could tie it, if you had a big title for Romans chapter 1 through 11, it's the mercies of God. The mercies of God. So he says, because of God's mercies. You know, we have to be constantly reminded of the fact that God has been incredibly merciful with us. You know, we think that our biggest problem is financial, or our biggest problem is health, or our biggest problem is a relationship, or work, or some other frustration. Now, our biggest problem, now those all could be a result, but the biggest problem is what's within, the sin within. That is our biggest problem in this world. And the only solution without question is Jesus Christ and his work on the cross. You know, Jesus said, what does it profit a man to gain the entire world, yet lose his soul? So whatever that thing is like, God, if you would just fix this, then all my problems will be right. And he said, that doesn't matter next to what I've done for your soul. I think of our lifetime, it makes me think of like the light on your dash when you do the turn signal. It's just like a little blip. Next to eternity, that's our life. And when we stand in eternity and we look at our life, and just the idea of being in relationship with God, the mercies of God are so big, so significant. You know, brothers and sisters, I hope that we never get tired of hearing that story. I once was lost, I'm now am found. Jesus Christ saved me. He has made me a new person. I now have hope. I am now a son. I now have significance. I mean, just go down the list, all those things. We should never get tired of telling that story. I mean, those of you with little kids, and I remember how this was. It's like they've got their favorite book. They could read that book over and over and over, or their favorite movie, you pop in the DVD, over and over and over. They never get tired of it. And I think that's the way we should be about the gospel and what God has done for us. So because of that, number two, I commit to grow. I commit to grow. Continuing on, it says, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And I think that this means is that there is an active step that we take. And he's saying here, it's to present your body as a living sacrifice. And he paints out, there's kind of two choices you take here. Choice A is living sacrifice. Choice B is to be conformed with the world. And there's a ton of detail here, and I don't have the time to pull it all out. But I want us to really see with clarity that it's one or the other, because you do need to choose. I think we choose. Am I going to be a living sacrifice? God, here's my life. Take what I have and you do what you want with it, God. I'm sacrificing it to you. Or do I just kind of go along and wherever the winds blow, it's just I'm going to be conformed to the world. What the world has and does, that's what I do. That's what that looks like. And And I think this living sacrifice and all this text, it reminds me also of what Jesus said. You know, he answered the question, what does it mean to be a disciple? And Jesus said, you deny yourself, which I think is living sacrifice. You take up your cross, which, you know, the cross is the means by which God heals and grows us. And this text says that you're transformed, renewing of your mind. So in other words, that renewal means that, like, you know, God shows you there's an area in your life. Wow, I was incredibly selfish about that. It's like, God, that's sin. You're right. Forgive me of that. Renew me in that. Help me get better in that. So you see how it's a renewal? So take up your cross and follow me. And the text here says that by testing you may discern what is the will of God. In other words, God, where do you want to go? That's where I want to go. That's what it means, I think, to be a living sacrifice. And so because of God's mercy, I must commit to grow. And, you know, I think we ask God lots of why questions. You know, think about it. We ask God, why are you taking so long to do this? God, why haven't you fixed that? And I wonder sometimes is, you know, there's kind of sometimes a disconnect in our, like, we're going this way and God seems to be going that way. There's kind of a discontinuity sometimes. And I think that maybe part of the reason for that is because what he wants in my life is not what I want in my life. What God wants in my life is my sanctification. That's at the top of his to-do list for Rich Scheib. What am I trying to do in his life today? I'm trying to sanctify him. And Rich Scheib is saying, no, you're supposed to fix this, and you're supposed to make that easier, and you're supposed to make that faster, and I shouldn't have to wait as long for this, and this is uncomfortable, and I don't want to have that hard conversation, or whatever it is. You see what I'm saying? We're avoiding the hard things, and God is taking us through those things. And so it's like there's a discontinuity, a pushing and a pulling. And I think that goes away if our heart for our life is aligned with him. In other words, I'm committed to my growth. Commit to your growth because God is committed to your growth. I mean, it's like, you know, if you've had a puppy or a dog or a kid, it's like you're walking one way and they're going another way. And I remember jogging with my dog and, you know, a squirrel would run by and I didn't notice the squirrel, but my dog did. And the dog's just like, you know, it's like they do the classic leash thing, you know, with their neck. I wonder if that's a lot of our life. That kind of thing where it's like, God, we're going one way and we're just head off another way. And God's like, that's not the way. This is the direction we're going. Because of God's mercy, I commit to grow. And then third, where I need to grow. I commit to grow where I need to grow. And here's why I say that from the text. Verse 3, it says, for by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment. You know, and we're going to get into more of this next week, but I just want to zero in on that idea of thinking of yourself with sober judgment. And I think of that as like self-awareness, like honest self-awareness. This is where I'm at in this part of my life. Like, I'm honest about that. I know that I should be there, and thankfully, I used to be over there, but I'm honest about where I am. This is an area that I need to grow in. It's honest. It's looking at yourself in a very real kind of way. And I think that's the kind of thing, too, where part of that commitment is getting the input of other people that are around us because, you know, we all have blind spots, right? We have people that are close to us, family, friends, that may be able to say something or speak something into your life to help you see, you know, this is an area that you say you're a 7, but I'll put you more down here at this level. And I think you could grow in that area, right? So it's being honest about that. Being honest about where you are exactly. And again, my hope is that in this month that we take January as a church to really take self-aware, self-honest, sober judgment of ourselves and just look at the different areas of our life, seek the Lord, and say, God, where do you want me to grow? Where do you want me to start being deliberate about and chasing after and going for it? And again, a lot could be said about how you grow, and we'll get more into that in coming weeks. But today I think it's about I'm committed to it. It's I'm going to choose it. I've got a tool that I'm going to put up on the screen here that it's just a tool, right? There's nothing sanctified about it or holy about it or inspired about it. It's just a tool, and we're going to put it up on the screen. I'll kind of walk through it, and it's just something you can use to help yourself to evaluate it. And I'm, the first thing to put up are three circles. Is that the first one you see there, Drew? Oh, that one, right. I forgot about this point. Thank you, Drew. So it says, I'm putting the three points into a sentence that you can complete. Because of God's mercy, I commit to grow in, you know, fill in the blank. And there might be a couple of things. There might be two or three things, whatever. It might be one. But it's the outline form in a sentence. Because of God's great mercy in my life, I commit to grow in. And then here's the tool. So kind of putting everybody's life into three basic circles. And I've got it called the inner circle, the personal circle, and the outer circle. And I got this from someone else a few years ago. I don't even remember the source. So inner circle, let's put up the four there. Within your inner circle, and I'm generalizing a lot of things, so give me some grace on this, and you might want to fill in some things, but you have your mind, and that's your knowledge. You know, it's commitment to grow in what you know. Like if you're in a particular career, it's like, how am I advancing in that? You know, if you're a student, a big part of your life as a young person in college is growing your mind, right? It's equipping. But that's not something that should finish at graduation. Adults should be learning. We should be growing in our knowledge over time. The second one is our body. You know, am I taking care of am I being a steward of what God's given me with my body? Taking care of the what I'm putting into my mouth and eating, my sleep habits, my exercise. Our emotional health. You know, we can have experiences and hardships in our past when we're younger that can create some entanglements that should be unwound that we need to work on, or just in a recognition that, okay, when a certain kind of thing happens to me in my relationship with my spouse, then I react in anger or what. In other words, we want to be healthy emotionally. And then finally, our spirit. And that's our relationship with the Lord. It's our time with him and his word and letting him talk to us and our time personally in prayer with him, fasting, the spiritual disciplines about just relating to God, but also relating to the body of Christ and letting other people speak into our lives and ministry to us, and then our ministry to other people as well. And then there's the personal circle of your life. There's your marriage. You know, how's your marriage? Are there parts of your marriage that need to be worked on? You need to grow. If you're a parent, you know, for children, you know, in what I'm doing there. Stewardship. God's given you finances. God's given you stuff. God's given you talent. Am I stewarding it for his glory? Or is it just something I'm using for myself? And then your career. Everybody has a job, and it could be, you could call it a vocation, an area that God has called them to work. Now, that doesn't mean that you have a boss. That doesn't mean that you have hours. That doesn't mean you get paid, even, right? You could retire from your job and be able to work full-time in ministry for free, even, or volunteer. But it's a work. Where's God called you, and what does that look like for your life? And then the outer life, which is really about mission. And this is our outward focus to the church, to the world. And you could go through each of these and just think in terms of, how am I doing in each of these things? And another way to look at it is the final, one more slide, I think it is, Drew, is in our inner circle, we need to be fit. The next circle, we need to be faithful. And then the final circle, we should be fruitful. And I think that when we're fit in the inner self, it leads to strength. When we're faithful, you'll see success in life. And then I think when we have fruit in our mission, it gives us significance. Now we're talking eternal kind of stuff. And one of the things, you know, so how am I doing in each of those? Is there a particular area that I need to grow in that God's maybe put on my heart? And one thing I want to say here right at the beginning as well is don't make the mistake of comparing yourself to others, because it's not about some type of ultimate standard in each of these, like the superhuman version of each of these. I mean, we all know that as we age, our body's going to be less capable as when we were younger. I mean, you don't expect a 95-year-old person to be able to have the same physical capabilities as a 25-year-old, right? So what is God calling you to? You know, and the other pitfall of comparing ourselves to other people is it misses the whole idea of because of God's mercies. In other words, you know, the person who's sitting next to you or across the church, they're not the standard. Jesus is the standard. And by that standard, we all fall dreadfully short. We need his work in our lives. And then it's really about, where does God want me to grow? And ultimately, on all these things, I think the main area of growth, because a lot of these things will decline with time, especially when you talk about your mind and even maybe your emotions and your health, it's your sanctification. You know, and I'll use myself as an example. I believe that one particular area, and there's several for me, but one particular area for me is that I think I need to grow in just my physical health. Over the last few years, I've just neglected, I've been lazy, I've lacked self-control when it comes to what I eat, the time I spend. But what God's shown me is that it's not about being on the cover of a men's magazine or being able to run a marathon, you know, at a world record pace. It's not that. It's about just being faithful with what God's given me. And rather than giving in and lacking self-control, being faithful to what God has given me and being healthy. So there's a spiritual issue behind that physical problem, right? So it's physically coming out of a heart condition. And I think that's true with all of these. And the other thing, too, is that you might find that there's an area that's like, okay, I know this is not great, but I don't know what the way forward is. That's okay. Just mark it down. Start researching it. Start seeking the Lord on it. Start getting input from others. And I know you'll get some answers. Because where there's a willingness, there's a way. You figure it out. God provides for us along those lines. He is incredibly faithful in this regard. And be reminded that God is committed to this. God is committed to this. We don't want to be a people that look great and have it together on the outside, but are far from God in our heart. That's not at all what we want. We want real, real growth. He is the God of redemption. He is the God that does this kind of thing, absolutely does it. So again, over the month of January, we'll get into this with more detail, but I want you to be able to fill out this statement. Because of God's mercy, I commit to grow here. Father, we thank you for your word and that you are committed to our growth. And Father, I pray that you would grow us and that we would be committed to that growth as well. Lord, help us to respond and see how you're working in our lives, not to resist or fight, but Lord, to submit. Bring us insights into our lives so that we can become better people for your glory. Not because we want to be comfortable or popular or successful in our eyes, Lord, but because we want to glorify you, God. It's all about you and becoming like you in every way. And in Jesus' name I pray, amen.